This is the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com. You can call us at 440-579-2531. Send us an email at studio at sportstalknetwork.com or follow us on Twitter at sportstalknet. The Steve Callis Show on sportstalknetwork.com starts now.
Hello again, everybody. This is Steve Callis on The Steve Callis Show. It's Tuesday, March 20th, 2012. I encourage you to send your emails to studio at sportstalknetwork.com. That's S-T-U-D-I-O at sportstalknetwork.com. Got a lot to do today. We're going to start, of course, with the now official news that Peyton Manning does have a contract to become a Denver Bronco. There's going to be a press conference today, 3 o'clock Eastern, 1 o'clock in Denver. Manning signing a 5-year, $90 million contract, which is frankly what the numbers you heard about pretty much all along. Of course, it wasn't about the money for Manning. It was about where he felt more comfortable: San Francisco, Tennessee, Denver. Apparently, he likes Denver better for a few reasons, not the least of which is John Elway is running the show there now. Elway, like Manning, a number one pick. Elway, like Manning, a Hall of Fame quarterback. Elway, a guy who didn't win a Super Bowl till very late in his career, probably can help a recovered Manning try and reach that goal as well. Don't forget, Brady 3 Super Bowls, Eli Manning 2 Super Bowls, Peyton Manning 1 Super Bowl. He must have thought this would be his best chance to win the Super Bowl. Personally, I thought the 49ers were his best chance. But at least according to Adam Schefter of ESPN, San Francisco was in the NFC. Manning might not have liked that. The NFC viewed to be tougher and deeper than the AFC. Tennessee he liked, but he would be more than just a superstar. According to Schefter, he would be like the Pope in Tennessee. So he's going to Denver. Obviously, Tim Tebow, odd man out. Apparently, the Broncos will now try and trade Tim Tebow. Hard to judge what his trade value is, but there are already rumors that the New England Patriots might be a good fit for Tebow. Obviously, Josh McDaniel, the coach at Denver when the Broncos drafted Tebow, has gone back to his old job as offensive coordinator in New England. He certainly would be a big change up to Tom Brady. Hard to believe, though, that the Patriots would take, you know, Brady out of the lineup 3 or 4 plays a game so Tebow could do something. Although the flip side of that is, I guess, a guy like a Belichick or a good offensive mind like Josh McDaniels might want to just change things up and maybe have Tom Brady in the game for a few less plays in terms of a thought of injury as his career goes on. I don't know, but that certainly is one of the teams that has come up in terms of where Tim Tebow is going to go now that he is clearly the odd man out. Denver is still with work to do. They've reached out to Jeff Saturday, who, of course, was Peyton Manning's center for all those years in most of those years in Indianapolis. Dallas Clark is a free agent, obviously one of Manning's favorite receivers. Joseph Addai, the running back, is a free agent. All these former Colts, there are a number of former Colts who, frankly, are free agents. Jacob Tammy is a free agent as well. So you can expect to see some former Colts gravitating, if you will, to the Denver Broncos. Now, the Broncos are going to need a backup quarterback. Billy Volek's a possibility, again, with Tebow leaving. But there's a lot of other dominoes falling now. What is Alex Smith going to do? Alex Smith, a free agent who came on very strong at the end with the 49ers this year. He went down and threw for Miami. He was apparently miffed that the 49ers were even flirting with Peyton Manning. So he went down to throw for Miami. But now apparently he doesn't really have a landing spot. David Garrard signed a 1-year deal with Miami. Matt Flynn, you probably know, signed a 3-year deal with Seattle. Apparently not only is Alex Smith upset that that San Francisco courted Peyton Manning, but he's also upset with San Francisco's offer to him, which was 3 years for $24 million, which sounds awful good to me. I mean, Alex Smith has become a good NFL quarterback, but he's apparently upset because Seattle has given Matt Flynn, with 2 career starts, 3 years and $24 million. So, again, the dominoes starting to fall. you know, where is Tebow going to wind up besides New England? Some people think Jacksonville will take a run at him because if nothing else, he'll sell tickets down there, and they have trouble selling tickets in Jacksonville. Maybe a backup in Green Bay now that Aaron Rodgers has lost Matt Flynn as his backup. Green Bay obviously needs a backup. Would he still go to Miami and back up David Garrard? You don't know. Denver is going to try and trade him. Again, his trade value can't be that great because there were still so many doubters. Now, Tebow is a leader and a winner, and to me, on occasion, he throws the ball really well. Obviously, he threw for over 300 yards against the Steelers in the playoff game, a gigantic win for Tebow and Denver. But you just don't know where he's going to land. But the big, big news, Peyton Manning is a Denver Bronco. Again, press conference this afternoon, 3 o'clock Eastern, 1 o'clock in Denver, as he signs a 5-year, $96 million contract. I don't think Peyton Manning makes the Broncos a Super Bowl winning team. He obviously does make them more than just a playoff team. They were a playoff team last year with Tim Tebow. Now, their two best wide receivers are Eric Decker and Demaryius Thomas, and I think they're both good wide receivers. And Peyton Manning is, by definition, going to make them very good NFL wide receivers. So, obviously, the offense will have an uptick. Willis McGahee is their feature back. So we'll just have to see what happens. But I think they're going to be a very good team. Will they be able to get out of the AFC? At first blush, I don't think so. But we'll have to see what kind of moves they make and where their team is, obviously, come opening day. That's the biggest story of the day. Peyton Manning goes to the Denver Broncos. I was down in the courthouse yesterday switching gears where they had the Madoff trustee against Fred Wilpon and Saul Katz, the owners of the New York Mets. I was down there covering the trial for WFAN Radio and SNY TV, and we'll just do a couple of minutes on that, because it is important to the overall scheme of the Mets, I think, in terms of their owner's viability to own the team and in terms of what the Mets are going to be going forward. But yesterday, at the 11th hour, literally right before jury selection was going to start, apparently an agreement had been worked out over the weekend to settle the case. So Judge Rakoff in the federal courthouse in Lower Manhattan, 500 Pearl Street, announced that there was a settlement. As you probably know, Judge Rakoff had announced already that the Wilpon-Katz group would owe the trustee and the Bernie Madoff estate up to $83 million on a pure bankruptcy theory, and the trial was supposed to be for the $303 million that would only be given over to the trustee if it was shown that there was willful blindness on the part of the Katz-Wilpon group. The Katz-Wilpon group had the burden shifted to them last week where they would have to come in and say they dealt with and invested in Madoff securities in good faith, that they didn't know anything, that they were not willfully blind, that they did not have a bunch of red flags, or that they knew or should have known about the Ponzi scheme that was going on. On that $303 million claim, which is what was going to be tried yesterday, the trustee got zero. So this is being correctly viewed as a pretty big victory for the Mets. One of the most important things for Fred Wilpon was a statement in the settlement agreement read out by Judge Rakoff at the settlement yesterday, where he said that the trustee had looked at the evidence and will not pursue any more willful blindness claims against the Wilpon-Katz defendants. Obviously a vindication for their character, for their integrity, for their honesty. And this was a big stumbling block. Apparently, if Fred Wilpon did not have that sentence in the agreement, if the trustee would not do that, he was not going to settle, and there would have been a trial. But at the 11th hour, the trustee decided to settle. What the trustee gets is an additional $80 million. The look-back period, where the judge had already ruled that the Wilpon-Katz group owed up to $83 million, was extended from 2 years to 6 years. So the Wilpon-Katz group owes the trustee and the Bernie Madoff estate $162 million. one final number to give you. As against that $162 million, the Wilpon-Katz defendants have their own customer claims against the estate for $178 million. So at least in theory, if the trustee could recover money to pay 100% on the dollar, which virtually never happens in bankruptcy, in theory, the Met Group could actually make some money. But the reality is that they'll probably be able to offset that $162 million by 50% or more. The Met ownership does not have to pay anything for the first 3 years. Whatever is left after 3 years, the $162 million minus the customer claims, the Met ownership will have to pay in two payments in the fourth year and the fifth year. And again, much better than they thought. And most importantly for them, not only do they pay zero on the willful blindness claim, but they got an express statement in the agreement that the trustee, after reviewing the evidence, has decided not to pursue any willful blindness claim against Fred Wilpon and Saul Katz. So again, any way you look at it, I did an hour on the radio with Mike Francesa yesterday, and he asked me on a scale of 1 to 10, how did I rank that as a victory for the Mets, Wilpon, Katz, etc., with 10 being the highest, and I said an 8. Maybe a 9. The only reason it's not a 10 is because, again, the trustee got an extra $80 million, and that's, to me, nothing to sneeze at. But in terms of the casting, the integrity of Fred Wilpon and Saul Katz in doubt, in terms of all of that, saying they knew or should have known about the fraud, all of that becomes zero for the trustee, and that's a complete, just on that side alone, that's a 10 or an 11 for the Wilpon-Katz defendant. So that trial wrapped up, frankly, before it started. The Met ownership now will be able to keep the Mets. They've been able to pay off a couple of loans. They've been able to sell small pieces in the Mets to other investors. So it looks like right now they'll be able to keep the team. Now, a lot of Met fans don't like that. The Wilpons did win a World Series in 1986. As you know, they got to the World Series in 2000 against the Yankees. And Fred Wilpon made a very impassioned plea outside the courthouse yesterday where he said, look, we're here, we're staying, we're going to work hard to make this team better, and we want to bring it back to where it used to be. We've done this twice before, and by that you assume he meant, you know, get to a World Series, and we can do it again. Now, the Mets, obviously, on the baseball field, are going to have a difficult time this year. Seems to me everybody got better in that division except the Mets. The only thing the Mets can hope for is that Santana comes back as a number one. If he does, then obviously the Mets did get better. But the Phillies are the Phillies. The Nationals got much better. The Marlins, you know what they did with Jose Reyes, Ozzie Guillen, their new manager, etc. So that's going to be, the Braves are a very good team. That's going to be a very tough division, and I assume anyone picking the NL East will pick the New York Mets to come in last. But the trial is over before it starts. In my view, a very favorable settlement for the Katz-Wilpon defendants. And now, at least in New York City for the Mets, the focus really goes back to the baseball field, where, of course, it belongs. This is the Steve Kallis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Think Fish with Frank Reese on Blue Zoo Radio, Sunday nights at 8 p.m. exclusively on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
These days, you hear them everywhere. Get out of debt quick promises asking you to call right now to solve all your credit problems. But please, listen carefully. Don't make a huge mistake. There is a better way. Trinity Debt Management. Many debt settlement companies have created a dangerous misunderstanding. Simply put, debt settlement often ends up destroying your credit and ultimately may lead to asset seizure and bankruptcy. There is a better way out. Trinity Debt Management can show you how to pay off your debt, preserve your good name, save thousands in interest, and in the end, actually improve your credit rating, not destroy it. Say no to debt settlement. Say yes to debt management. Trinity Debt Management. Make the right choice and become debt-free for keeps. Call 1-800-780-0646. That's 1-800-780-0646.
This is a referral service. Calls will be routed to an independent referral insurance agency.
Listen up, America!
Listen up, America. I'm talking to anyone with or without a pre-existing medical condition. A health insurance hotline has now been established to provide health insurance for all Americans, even uninsured Americans with pre-existing conditions. Call now for a free, no-obligation quote on affordable health plans available to you. 1-800-690-6110. I repeat, this is a hotline providing free quotes for affordable health plans. It's for anyone without health insurance, even if you have pre-existing conditions. Medical costs are the number one cause of bankruptcy and financial distress. All uninsured Americans are strongly urged to call this National Health Insurance Hotline right away to protect yourself and your family from an unexpected variety of medical costs that could cause financial hardship. Call the Health Insurance Hotline right now for a free quote at 1-800-690-6110. That's 1-800-690-6110. Call 1-800-690-6110.
You're listening to thesportstalknetwork.com.
Are you an inventor, or do you know an inventor who would like to attempt to have an invention or idea patented and submitted to industry? For free information on how to proceed, call toll-free.
Call 1-800-330-2345. That's 1-800-330-2345.
InventHelp, one of America's largest invention companies, has inventors' information you can have for free. Record your invention's date of origination, plus get an information brochure and other material of interest to new inventors. Learn how you can get your free information just by dialing toll-free.
Call 1-800-330-2345. That's 1-800-330-2345.
Even if you only have an idea for improving an existing product or don't know where to go with it, you'll want this free inventor's information. It shows how InventHelp may assist you in trying to patent your invention and submit it to industry. It's a free call, so call InventHelp right now.
Call 1-800-330-2345. That's 1-800-330-2345.
SportsTalkNetwork.com, the internet broadcast giant for sports talk and entertainment programming, now features market-specific sports sites in over one dozen cities, including New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Cleveland, and Canada. And we're not done yet. More markets launching soon. Your cities, your teams, your passion. We are SportsTalkNetwork.com.
In these hard economic times, you've got to do whatever you can to save money. One of our biggest expenses can be our cars, especially when unexpected repair bills hit. Not anymore. If you have a car, truck, or SUV, you can stop paying for all covered repairs. That's right. You might not have to pay a penny more than you want for repairs. Just call 1-877-246-0508 right now to see if you qualify. Repairs for your engine, transmission, and much more can become a thing of the past if your vehicle has less than 130,000 miles. Just call 877-246-0508 today and get your car protected, saving you hundreds, even thousands of dollars. Phone lines are open right now. See if your vehicle qualifies. Just call 1-877-246-0508 to get your car protected today. Call 877-246-0508. That's 1-877-246-0508. Never pay for covered car repairs again. Just call 877-246-0508. That's 877-246-0508.
With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in Square D, Eaton Cutler Hammer, Siemens Automation, Banner Engineering, ASCO Valves, Bussmann and Faraz Fuses, and coming very soon are more than 5,000 line items of Allen Bradley. SupplyLineElectric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts. Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Callis Show. We're going to get to the NBA games in a minute. I have an email from Robert Reitman. Steve, it appears the Linsanity era is over now that Mike Woodson stated the Knicks will run around their stars Carmelo and Amare. Do you think Jeremy Lin will see the court again, or is it always about the revenues? If fans would stop attending games, which will not happen as we are our own worst enemies, management would receive the message that the team is first to fans. Somehow this message is lost on some teams, and their records are evidence. Thanks for your insights. Well, it's very interesting now. I think Mike Woodson has retreated, not from going through his stars, but has retreated with respect to Linsanity, and that might very well be because Baron Davis got hurt the other day. We've been through this before. Jeremy Lin is a good to very good NBA point guard. Anybody who doesn't see that, and again, to me, it's a lot depends on the position. There were some columnists in New York who essentially said Jeremy Lin is a D-League player. He's not going to last. He's going to burn out. And then, of course, he was the MVP of the NBA. MVP of the NBA for the month of February. So this kid can play. He's got great vision. I heard someone say that Bob Cousy said he's going to be a good to very good point guard in the NBA. And Cousy should know, of course, one of the great point guards of all time. But I think Linsanity is over as we know it. The league is wise to Jeremy Lin, but he can still play. He can get his shot. He can go left, despite what you hear, one of the biggest myths of all time. Jeremy Lin goes left as well as most right-handed point guards go left. That is not very well. Left-handed point guards go right about the same way, not very well. There are very few point guards who really can go their opposite hand and be effective. But Jeremy Lin can and does. You know, I've written articles on this. Go Google Jeremy Lin torches John Wall in Summer League game. Watch that video. The first two plays, he blows by John Wall to the left and scores. I saw one tape clip on ESPN of Jeremy Lin in the Golden State uniform. The only one I saw, he blows by a guy, goes left, lays it in lefty. And, of course, one of the funniest slash best moves he made. Well, I always go to the Laker spin move on Derek Fisher that everybody remembers. And, yes, he started to the right, and, yes, he laid the ball into the right, but, of course, the spin was to the left. I don't know if that counts or not, but I always go to the funniest slash one of the coolest moves all year is Jeremy Lin against the Sacramento Kings. He comes down the left side. He dribbles lefty. He goes to the basket left-handed, dribbling lefty. He doesn't have a shot, so he dribbles out under the basket, back out to the foul line, all lefty, and then he swoops in on the left side for a lefty layup. So, again, the people who say he can't go left, that's what you say when you have nothing else bad to say about a guy. I wrote that I thought his shooting would drop back a little bit. It has. And he's not a great defender, but who is? Name me the point guard. Name me three point guards who are great defenders. These guys are so blinding quick. All of them. John Wall, Derrick Rose, Darren Williams, Brandon Jennings. I mean, just go down the list. Virtually every team has a lightning quick point guard. So it's going to be very hard for these guys to guard each other. But I'll say it again, when you play in the Dallas Mavericks and Sean Marion comes out to guard you, that's a sign of respect. Now, the next time around, Jason Kidd guarded Lin and went out of his way to, I think, almost try and hurt Lin. He punched him in the head on that one play. And offensively, Kidd, who is averaging about 6 points a game this year and never looks for his shot, looked for his shot all game against Jeremy Lin. So there's still a certain thing there. He got a lot of publicity. Sports Illustrated covers back-to-back. Maybe he's Asian American and these other guys didn't like it. Maybe all the other point guards, you don't know. But I think Linsanity, as we knew it for that month, where the guy was a human highlight film for about 10 games, I think it is over. And if the Knicks are going to be a championship team, their stars better play like stars, because Amari says he's 100% healthy. He does not have the explosion he had even a year ago. Carmelo hurt Amari's game when he showed up last year. If you remember, Amari Stoudemire was a legit MVP candidate. Legit. The first 40, 45 games of the season until Carmelo showed up. And Carmelo, on his own side, he doesn't look like a 25-point-a-game scorer now. He has been okay since he's been a Knick. He hasn't been terrible. He certainly hasn't been really good. He's been okay. So the question becomes, are Carmelo and Amari still superstars who can lead the Knicks to the promised land? And the answer is, I certainly don't know. I haven't seen it. Now, they're 3-0 under Mike Woodson. They beat Indiana soundly, back-to-back, home and away. The road game against Indiana is their best road win since Jeremy Lin started. Lin played really well last week. So can they all coexist? Yeah, but you have to agree. You want the ball in Carmelo Anthony's hands with the game on the line. I think Jeremy Lin could do it and get it to Carmelo Anthony. But certainly Anthony's going to take the shot. Do I think Lin can take and make the shot? Well, of course, he already proved that. Again, the guy was the MVP in the NBA for the month of February. Name me two other point guards who were the MVP in the month this year, because I don't know if there are two. As for Robert suggesting that the fans would stop attending games, you know, as great as that is in theory, we know it won't happen in reality. The team absolutely comes first to the fans, and certainly Carmelo took a beating when he came back. Is it his fault? The guy plays the way he plays. He needs the ball. He's just not one of those guys who's going to run around without the ball. He's just not. And as for Amare, he's playing, I thought, better the last three games, but still, the explosiveness that made him a legit MVP candidate the first half at least of the season last year isn't there this year for whatever reason. Some people say, oh, his brother died. Some people say, oh, maybe it's his knees. Some people say he doesn't have the explosiveness he once had. Well, this was always the problem with giving Stoudemire the contract the Knicks gave him. You didn't think he was going to last 5 years. But we'll just have to wait and see what happens. The Knicks went from the league darling to getting hammered like six games in a row. Now with Mike D'Antoni quitting, and the only thing I questioned about D'Antoni quitting, and I think we discussed it when he quit, is why would he quit when you're going to play the only team in the NBA that was probably more dysfunctional than the Knicks at the time he quit, the Portland Trail Blazers at home? That just struck me as bizarre. You would have thought he would have quit when they were going to play Dallas and San Antonio on back-to-back nights on the road. So he quit when they had an easy victory. I didn't think they win by 40, which they did against Portland, but certainly the easiest game they had had in 2 weeks. And then they beat Indiana back-to-back, which you would expect them to beat Indiana at home, but they went and beat Indiana on the road. So give Mike Woodson credit, a very good defensive coach. Coach the Hawks, did a pretty good job with the Hawks. Certainly has the respect of the players, has been there all year, was brought in. I don't want to say against the wishes of Mike D'Antoni, but certainly he wasn't one of Mike D'Antoni's guys. When Mike D'Antoni left, his brother left, and Phil Weber left as well. So Mike Woodson has now hired a few more assistants, including his high school basketball coach. But so far, obviously, he's done a good job. They're 3-0. They play the Raptors next, which should be another victory. We'll see what happens now. They're getting back into the playoff hunt, of course. And they certainly should be a playoff team. And if they don't make the playoffs, I would say Mike Woodson has a chance to keep the job if they make the playoffs and show some life in the playoffs. Again, they haven't won a series in like 10 years. But we'll just have to wait and see how all of that shakes out. So I think Linsanity, as we knew it, is dead. But I think Jeremy Lin's going to be a starting point guard in the NBA for a very long time. And again, it might be another stroke of luck for him. He had bad luck for a long time, but then when he was with the Knicks, as you know, everybody and his mother got hurt at the point guard position or couldn't play it. And Baron Davis, who was coming back, got hurt. That's how Lin got into a game. Now, it looked like Lin was going to be pushed back at least minute-wise, if not starting-wise. Suddenly, Baron Davis is hurt again, and poof. You know, Woodson comes out this morning on WFAN radio in New York and says, yeah, Lin's our guy. He's the starter. He's played great. I want him to succeed. I don't want him to fail. So we'll have to see how that fits with what he said last week, which is that rookies usually sit. But again, when your number two point guard, who's a very good point guard, Baron Davis, gets hurt, poof, your number one point guard is still your number one point guard and will get a lot of minutes. And he played very well the other day against Indiana. Want to get to a bunch of the NBA games now. The most interesting game, and again, just we've talked about this before, Dwight Howard committed now to Orlando the rest of this season and all of next season as well. So a week later, they go out. Chicago comes to Orlando to play the Magic in Orlando. Reigning MVP Derrick Rose cannot play. And the Magic score 59 points. We talked about Orlando having trouble scoring. Chicago, of course, a very good defensive team. Tom Thibodeau, a very good defensive coach, coach of the year last year. How the Knicks let him get away, I don't know, but they let him get away. So Chicago yesterday buries Orlando in Orlando without Derrick Rose. I mean, really, that is just unbelievable. They hold the Magic to 33 first-half points, 26 second-half points. Bulls are up 15 at the half, and it only got worse from there. Again, no Derrick Rose. Boozer with 24 points, 13 rebounds. John Lucas III, who has really been a good replacement for Derrick Rose, 8 for 13 from the field, 4 for 7 from 3, 20 points, 2 assists. Luol Deng, 14 points, 4 rebounds. Joakim Noah, 9 points, 6 rebounds. Kyle Korver showing a little life lately to me. 7 points yesterday, 2 for 3 from three. Again, Chicago needs that scoring, but they showed yesterday the Magic need scoring a lot more than the Bulls do. Chicago 85, Magic 59. Dwight Howard, 18 and 12, after 12 rebounds after that. Only Kyle Anderson with 10 points was in double figures. And obviously, this is the problem for the Magic. There are just games when they score in the, I don't think they scored in the 50s before, but they've scored in the 70s and the 80s a lot, and that is not how you win an NBA championship. Chicago 85, Magic 79 in Orlando. The Celtics showing some life of late. They were under 500 about 2 weeks ago. Now they're 3 games over. They go into Atlanta. They beat the Hawks. Celtics 79, Hawks 76. Ray Allen, 19 points, 4 for 6 from 3, 3 rebounds. Garnett, 16 and 8 rebounds. Pierce, 13 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists. Rondo, 10 points, 13 assists. What can you say about this guy? Bass with 10 rebounds. Celtics, 79. Hawks, 76. Joe Johnson, the silent killer, led all teams with both teams with 25 points. Pachulia, their good big man, 16 points, 13 rebounds. Josh Smith, 10 points, 11 rebounds for the Hawks. Not enough. Celtics moved to 24 and 21. Hawks dropped to 26 and 20. Celtics closing fast on Atlanta for number 6 in the East. Out West, the Mavericks go to Denver. Of course, Denver signed Wilson Chandler to that 5-year, $35 million contract. Chandler, I hated him. I hated to see him leave the Knicks. You know, they gave up half their team to get Carmelo Anthony. So he didn't play. Well, I'm sorry, Chandler did play off the bench yesterday, 13 points, but it was all Mavericks. Mavericks 112, Nuggets 95. Mavericks with 63 points in the first half. Obviously not a big defensive game for the Nuggets. Dirk Nowitzki, 33 points, 11 rebounds, 6 assists. The guy's just unbelievable. Vince Carter, 14 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists. Wright with 15 points off the bench. Terry with 10 points off the bench. Jason Kidd with 10 assists. Too much for Denver. Now, Danilo Gallinari yesterday played 22 minutes, 4 points, 6 rebounds, 7 assists. But unfortunately, for Denver, Gallinari broke the thumb on his left hand, his non-shooting hand, but he does have a broken thumb. Doctor said he'd be out 4 weeks. He's trying to come back quicker, but it's going to be hard even if it is his non-shooting hand. Aflalo with 24 points for Denver. Lawson, 11.6 assists, but again, not enough. Chandler in his first start, 13 points, in his first appearance, 13 points off the bench. Al Harrington, 12 points, 9 rebounds. Mavericks, 112. Denver Nuggets, 95. Dallas, 27 and 20. Denver drops to 25 and 21. We'll do the rest of the NBA, NHL, little NCAA, a few baseball notes when we come back after these messages. This is the Steve Kallis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Get your college sports news when you want it, 24/7 online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion.
You want to put your nest egg somewhere where it will grow. Gold has given investors a 300% return over the last 10 years. You want an investment that's safe. Gold American Eagles are guaranteed by the U.S. government for weight and purity. You want to work with someone you can trust. Blanchard & Company was founded over 35 years ago. They have an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. You want an investment that's liquid in case you need your money fast. Well, Blanchard guarantees to buy back any gold you invest in with them at the current market rates anytime you want to sell. And you want someone you can talk to ask questions and find out what's right for you. Blanchard has set up a special toll-free line to give you a free one-on-one consultation and information with a gold expert. Just call 800-309-5530. That's 800-309-5530. For free gold information, call now. 800-309-5530. 800-309-5530.
Get your Major League Baseball news when you want it 24/7, online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion. With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in motor starters, contactors, coils, contact kits, push buttons, pilot lights, photo and proximity sensors, and many more items, including obsolete and hard to find parts. Visit us today at SupplyLineElectric.com. And don't forget that all orders ship the same business day. Supply Line Electric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts. Get your NBA news when you want it, 24/7, online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com, your cities, your teams, your passion.
Great job, guys. We just got certified loose slots by the Las Vegas Advisor.
Yeah, but George, we're so tired.
We've been giving out so much money, and look, Jackpot's arm hurts because of all the pulls.
Well, guys, don't do it for me. Do it for our guests. Get back out there.
All right.
All right? Hands in.
Palm slots pay lots.
Palm slots are certified up to 36.85% looser than the Las Vegas Strip and local jurisdictions by the Las Vegas Advisor.
Want to know what's going on in the world of professional wrestling and sports entertainment?
It's still real to me, damn it!
Join Paul Belfie and Mike Pitak.
You are a freaking lunatic!
For Pro Wrestling Insider.
Awesome!
On SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Listen, if you're considering buying hardwood flooring, don't do anything until you've written down this number and received your free Lumber Liquidators catalog.
The flooring was high quality with an unbeatable price tag.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
What I bought at Lumber Liquidators is a vastly higher quality than flooring I had installed 6 years ago, and for a fraction of the cost.
So if you want great hardwood flooring at unbeatable prices, trust Lumber Liquidators. We buy direct from the mills. Call right now to get our flooring guide and catalog absolutely free. It's filled with top quality hardwood flooring, including solid hardwoods, laminates, and bamboos, and even Bellawood pre-finished flooring with a 100-year transferable warranty. The same floor Bob Vila has in his home. This free catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to make your buying decisions easy. Hurry, call right now to get a copy of this free guide and catalog. Call 877-407-9413 to get your free copy now. 877-407-9413. 877-407-9413.
Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Callis Show. A few more NBA games to get to. Minnesota goes out to Golden State to play the Warriors, and it was actually a pretty interesting day there. They retired Chris Mullin, Hall of Famer, top 50 player, St. John's legend, left-handed jump shooter. They retired Mullin's number 17 at Golden State. When Joe Lako, the owner, came out onto the floor, he was booed vehemently by the crowd, maybe upset with their sub-500 record, maybe upset with the fact that they traded Monte Ellis. And Rick Barry, the legendary Rick Barry, certainly not a well-liked guy when he played, but certainly one of the greatest players of all time, actually grabbed the mic and I think brought the crowd under control. He said, quote, show a little bit of class, close quote, you know, had only good things to say about the Golden State owner. And I think he literally turned boos into cheers, at least the brief clip that I saw. But then, unfortunately, Minnesota went out and beat the Warriors in Golden State, Minnesota 97. Golden State, 93. What can you say about Kevin Love? 36 points, 17 rebounds, 3 for 5 from 3. Was really a one-man show yesterday. Luke Ridenour had 11 points and 10 assists. And Tolliver off the bench had 10 points, but that was it for Minnesota. Golden State, David Lee having a fine year, 25 points, 9 rebounds. Richard Jefferson, the newest member of Golden State, off the bench, 29 minutes, 19 points, 4 rebounds. But Minnesota gets the win. Minnesota moves to within a game of 500, 23-24. Golden State, 18-25 now again. I think they have a pretty good young team. I think they're only going to get better. When they get Bogut from the trade they made with Milwaukee and they plug him in the middle, I think they're going to be a pretty good team even in the West. But they got a big hill to climb because just the West is still tougher. Now, the best team might be in the East. I think it is in Miami. But for years, the two best teams were in the West, the Lakers and the Spurs, and the West was deeper. The West is still deeper, but I think the best team and maybe the two best teams, the Heat and the Bulls, right now, of course, are in the Eastern Conference. A couple of the games just to briefly mention. Philadelphia buries the Bobcats in Charlotte 105-80. Young with 20 points, 10 for 12 from the field. Henderson leads Charlotte with 14 points. And the Cavaliers come back to beat the Nets in New Jersey. Cleveland 105, Nets 100. Thompson with 27 for the Cavaliers. Williams with 28 points and 8 assists leads the Nets. Again, this guy is a superstar, but he's a superstar by himself, Darren Williams. And I don't think, frankly, that he's going to wind up staying there now that the whole Dwight Howard thing has been resolved, at least with Dwight Howard staying for another year. Gilbert Arenas is set to sign with the Grizzlies, prorated contract for the rest of the year. Again, the Grizzlies doing pretty good without Zach Randolph. Can Arenas help them? Well, it's the old, it depends which Gilbert Arenas shows up. One other note, Derek Fisher traded recently by the Lakers to Houston, was bought out by Houston and is now free to sign anywhere he wants. The Heat have been mentioned as a possibility, the Oklahoma City Thunder. You know, personally, I think the Heat is more likely. Oklahoma City already has the best three-guard rotation in the league, Westbrook, Durant, Harden. Now, Durant, of course, can play and does play the three, but there wouldn't be much time there for Derek Fisher and the Heat. He might have a chance to play some backup minutes. They're the kind of team, as is Oklahoma City, frankly, that needs that veteran point guard with five championships, some leader in the clubhouse. Obviously, Fisher wants to win a sixth. I would think if he had to pick who's going to win the championship this year between the Heat and the Thunder, he'd pick the Heat. They interviewed LeBron James. He said, hey, he's a winner. Every team would love to have him. He didn't totally embrace the fact that he might go to the Heat, but he certainly didn't knock it down. And, of course, he said he had nothing to do with the decision, whether they bring him in or not. It's amazing how these superstars who supposedly have nothing to do with the decision always seem to have something to do with the decision. And that's the roasting Carmelo Anthony got in New York, because everyone's convinced that D'Antoni quit, if he quit, you know, supposedly he quit, because of the fact that Carmelo Anthony really didn't like playing for him, or didn't like his system, I guess is the way they're couching it now. Want to get in briefly to the Sweet 16. Obviously, no games now, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, but Thursday night, here are the matchups. Wisconsin, number four Wisconsin, and these are their seeds in the tournament, obviously not their national rankings. Number four Wisconsin against number one Syracuse. Number six Cincinnati against number two Ohio State. Number four, Louisville against number one, Michigan State. Number seven, Florida against number three, Marquette. Those are your four matchups on Thursday. I think Ohio State is going to beat Syracuse. In fact, I picked Ohio State before Syracuse lost Fab Melo to go to the Final Four. So it'll probably wind up Ohio State and Syracuse on that side of the bracket. Michigan State. You know, a lot of people are picking Florida, but I think Marquette, very tough Big East team, had a very good year. Jay Crowder was the Big East player of the year. I think Marquette has a chance against Michigan State, but first Michigan State obviously has to get by Louisville, and Marquette has to get by Florida. We'll talk more about those games as they come close to Thursday and Friday. The Friday games, just to give you the games now in the Sweet 16, Xavier against Baylor, Xavier a 10, Baylor a 3. Indiana, number four, against Kentucky, number one. I'm sure you know that Indiana, one of only two teams to beat Kentucky this year, but you just have a sense that Kentucky is actually liking this because now they have their chance for revenge. In the other bracket, number 13, Ohio, the lowest remaining seed after the 215s got beat the other night. Number 13, Ohio against number one, North Carolina. Now, Carolina is a point guard. Broke his scaphoid bone
apparently had surgery, and they put a screw in his wrist. He's going to try and play. That'll affect North Carolina. Now they're playing a number 13 seed that has played well. You have to think at least on Friday they can get through. And then the big match will be number 11 NC State playing number 2 Kansas. The winner of that game will probably get North Carolina. Now, I picked Ohio State to win the championship before the season started in my bracket. Right before the tournament started, I picked Kansas to go all the way. So we'll see what happens there. But to me, you're looking at a Kansas-Carolina showdown there and probably a Kentucky-Baylor, although I do think Xavier has a chance to beat Baylor again. As we get closer to that time, we'll talk about those things towards the end of the week. A couple of other college notes. Bobby Kremins, who was the Georgia Tech coach for, I think, 19 years and has been the College of Charleston coach for the last 6 years, has decided to retire. He took a medical leave in January, and he's now not going to come back to the program. Mo Harkless, who was the Big East Rookie of the Year, the St. John's 6'8 freshman, averaged 15 points and 9 rebounds a year. It was a very tough year for St. John's. Obviously, Coach Lavin couldn't coach most of the year. A few of his recruits didn't come in. They wound up starting 5 freshmen. They really only had 6 guys who could play. But Mo Harkless has decided to go pro. He's going to be in the NBA draft. Apparently, the estimates are between 13 and 23 in the draft, so he won't be a lottery pick. I thought he would come back for a year. He did average 15 and 9 rebounds this year. He was a very good freshman and the Big East Rookie of the Year, but he's decided to go. That'll hurt St. John's team next year. But again, it looks like Lavin's coming back. He's got a good recruiting class. I think taking their lumps this year will help these 5 remaining freshmen who will already be veteran Big East players when they start their sophomore season next season. And I think St. John's can be a tournament team next year. Again, Lavin, a very good recruiter, supposedly has another pretty good recruiting class coming in for next season. And despite rumors that he might leave to go back to the West Coast, apparently he's staying at least for next season at St. John's. Just a couple of quick Major League Baseball notes. You probably saw the film by now. Miguel Cabrera got hit in the face on a really bad hop ground ball, the third. You know, I'm trying to think who it was who was doing the game, and he said, so maybe it was Leland. Somebody said, you're going to see tomorrow that he got hit in the face at third base, and you're going to say, oh, Cabrera, he's a bad third baseman. But in fact, that was really a bad hop. And the guy doing the game said, oh, it was Terry Francona, the former manager of the Red Sox. He said, you're going to read in the papers tomorrow that he can't feel that a ball hit him in the face. But that ball took such a bad hop that it would have hit any third baseman, any Major League third baseman in the face. So Cabrera had to go to the hospital. He had to get stitches. He's going to be evaluated today to see when he can come back to play. But I think it's going to be a few days. He took a real shot to the face and needed stitches to fix it. Few pitchers yesterday. Clayton Kershaw, 5 1/3 innings, gives up 1 run, his first run of the spring. Yu Darvish for Texas, 4 innings pitched, 1 earned run, 4 strikeouts. And it was a little strange for me to see this, but Carlos Beltran hit his first home run in the spring in a Cardinal uniform. And again, it's not that Beltran was a legendary Met and he played for Houston and the Mets and the Giants last year, of course, and now the Cardinals. It just looked bizarre to me to see Carlos Beltran in a Cardinal uniform. But if he's healthy, Carlos Beltran is a very, very good player, and he's going to help the Cardinals, who are obviously trying to gear up offensively without Albert Pujols. Want to switch to the NHL now. And if you saw this game, and I did, or if you watched the highlights, you know, the Devils and the Rangers obviously don't like each other. The Devils come into the Garden to play the Rangers. They had 2 fights right at the get-go the last time they played. The visiting team puts their team out first, and Peter DeBoer is the coach of the Devils. Frankly, sent out his 3 goons. I mean, that's the only way you can say it. He sent them out to start the game. Tortorella, seeing that, screamed and yelled at DeBoer, obviously was cursing at him over the sideboards there. And Tortorella sent out his tough guys, Prust and Rupp. Stu Bickle, a defenseman and a tough guy, actually took the opening faceoff, which he said he had never done before in his life. And literally, when the puck was dropped, 6 guys dropped their dropped their gloves and started fighting again. I don't like that. I understand why it happens. I'm not a guy who says let's ban all hockey. But when the starting, when they drop the puck to start the game and you have three fights immediately, Jensen for the Devils and Prust, Bolton for the Devils and Rupp, Ryan Carter for the Devils and Stu Bickel, and Bickel bloody Carter. I mean, if you saw his face, it was a bloody mess. They had to have the guys come up to scrape the blood off the ice. You had six fighting majors 3 seconds into the game. To me, frankly, that's just not a way to play hockey. The Rangers won the game. The Rangers, to me, looked like they won the fight. They won the battle. They won the war. They won the game 4-2. They're still in first place. Dubinsky scored his eighth for the Rangers. Girardi is fifth. Zuccarello is second. And Derek Stepan in the third period scored his 16th. The Devils had two goals in the second period. Eliash with his 25th, Peter Sikora with his 17th, but the Rangers get the win. Rangers 4, Devils 2. You got to wonder if there's someone's going to step in and suspend somebody. Now, again, DeBoers is the one who set the stage. The visiting coach sends out his starters, sends out his lineup first. The home team advantage is they send out their lineup last. And yesterday, Tortorella, after screaming at DeBoers, sent out his tough guys, and you knew something was going to happen right at the drop of a hat, and that's exactly what happened. Rangers get the win, a big win for the Rangers. Devils still playing very well. Rangers 45-20 with 7 overtime losses. Devils 41-27 with 5 overtime losses. A few other games yesterday. Washington goes out to the now slumping Red Wings. Alex Ovechkin gets 2 goals in the first period, his 31st and 32nd of the year. Ovechkin leads the Capitals to a 5-3 win over the Detroit Red Wings. Detroit, now in a slump, has lost 5 games in a row. And again, they were unbeatable at home for a long time. Now they've been slumping a bit at home and on the road. Washington 5, Detroit 3. Washington holding that 8th playoff spot in the East by 2 points, so it was a big win for them. Ovechkin coming on stronger now, 32 goals for him. Capitals beat the Red Wings 5-3. A few other games. The Minnesota Wild shut out the powerful Vancouver Canucks. Josh Harding gets the shutout for the Wild. The Wild win 2-0. Christensen and Brodziak with his 19th score the goals for Minnesota. A good win for them. Minnesota, as you recall, was in first place early in the season. They've now fallen back under 500, but they beat a good Calgary team in Minnesota. Minnesota 2, Calgary nothing. Calgary drops to 43-21 and 8 overtime losses. The Bruins hammer the Maple Leafs 8-0. Tim Thomas shuts out the Maple Leafs. The Bruins have 7 guys score 8 goals. Zdeno Chara scored his 10th for the Bruins. Marchand scored his 24th, and Pouliot scored 2 goals, his 11th and 12th of the year. Bruins annihilate the Leafs. Bruins 8, Leafs nothing. Just a couple of other games in the NHL yesterday. The Ducks beat the Sharks. The Ducks 5, the San Jose Sharks 3. Good win in that. Obviously, that's, you know, become a rivalry now for the Ducks. Ryan with his 27th, Perry with his 35th, Palmieri with his 4th. For the Sharks, Havlat scored his 5th, Chloe his 13th, and Joe Pavelski had his 26th. Anaheim 5, San Jose 3, Anaheim 31-32 with 11 overtime losses, San Jose 36-26 and 10. Finally, the final game, Buffalo Sabres at Tampa Bay, Buffalo 7, Tampa Bay 3. Buffalo moves to 34-29 and 10 overtime losses. Tampa drops under 500, 32-33 with 7 overtime losses. Pominville with his 26th and 27th for Buffalo. Stafford with his 15th for Buffalo. For Tampa Bay, Gervais with his 5th. Malone with his 14th. Buffalo 7. Tampa Bay Lightning 3. I hope I said in that Boston-Toronto game, Tim Thomas, of course, reigning Stanley Cup MVP, he got the shutout for Boston when they buried Toronto. Boston 8, Toronto nothing. A couple of other things quickly. Dante Stallworth has agreed to a one-year contract to return to the Patriots. The Carolina Panthers signed the free agent running back Mike Tolbert from the San Diego Chargers. Ron Rivera became the Panthers coach now, and of course he joins Tolbert. He coached Tolbert in San Diego. Now Tolbert leaves San Diego to come to Carolina to be reunited with Ron Rivera. In baseball, Chase Utley now, obviously the star second baseman of the Phillies, who's had injuries over the last few years, probably will start the season on the disabled list because of problems with both knees, and that's really a problem. You know, when you have just one knee, you can kind of deal with it. Both knees, it's a big problem. It was thought that he only had problems with his right knee, but the general manager of the Phillies, Ruben Amaro Jr., said Monday that the left one may actually be causing him more trouble. Quickly want to get to the TV tonight. No NCAA men's games. Again, those will be Thursday, Friday for the Sweet 16, and then, of course, Saturday, Sunday for the Elite Eight to get to the Final Four. But tonight, basketball, two games, the Raptors at the Knicks on the MSG Network, 7:30 p.m. Eastern. The Suns go down to Miami to play the Heat, 7:30 Eastern as well. That's on the NBA Network. Hockey, a number of games on tonight. Doubleheader on the NBC Sports Channel, 8 o'clock Eastern, the Coyotes at Dallas to play the Stars. 10:30 Eastern, the Sharks at the Kings, again on the NBC Sports Station, formerly Versus. And then also, if you get MSG, and again, I'm told it's national now, Islanders at the Toronto Maple Leafs after the Maple Leafs took that beating in Boston, 7:30 Eastern on MSG plus 2. And then the Devils at the Ottawa Senators, 7:30 Eastern on MSG plus. So four hockey games. A bunch of exhibition baseball games if you're into that. I try and watch some at night if I get the chance. Today, a bunch of games on as we get closer and closer, obviously, to opening day. Braves at the Tigers, 1 o'clock Eastern. That's on ESPN. Brewers at the Dodgers, 4 o'clock Eastern. That's on the MLB Network. The Nationals at the Mets, 6 o'clock Eastern on SNY. Pirates at the Yankees, 7 o'clock Eastern on the YES Network. Blue Jays at the Red Sox, 7 o'clock Eastern on the MLB Network. So, again, if baseball is your thing, there's lots of exhibition baseball on today on various stations throughout the day and night. This is the Steve Callis Show, or at Sports Talk Network.com.